Full grace, mercy, and peace be to you, from our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. As many of you have raised your hands, you have all wanted something in your life. But there's also another thing that we want. I think at one point in all of our lives, we've all had that feeling of being wanted. Whether that would be wanted for a position in a job, or your skills or expertise, wanted by a loved one and help. We've all had at some point in our lives the need and maybe even the desire to feel wanted, to feel special, to feel like you have a sense of belonging, a sense of a family. This is a very universal thing. This is something that we can desire above all else. It's a very natural thing to be wanted. And of course, we all want that love, that recognition, and that family of Christ. We have talked about in the book of Matthew, we've gone on a journey with Jesus already. In fact, right now is basically the turning point in the Gospel of Matthew. We've spent the better part of his entire book, the better part of the first half, securely seated in Israel, in the region of Galilee. This was the place where Jesus did the majority of his ministry, where he wanted to be. And he was there because he wanted his people to know him. It's very important that I get this out right now, and once again, I'm about to say something shocking, something that will absolutely blow your minds. Jesus was a Jew. Yeah, I see some chuckles there. But I want you to, I mean, it's a bit of a thing. Yes, Jesus is a Jew, obviously. He grew up in, he was born in Bethlehem to a Jewish family, to a Jewish mom and dad, went to a Jewish school, went and had all the Jewish things, you know, the circumcision, the all of the fun festivals that he did. Jesus went to every single one of those festivals. He was the best Jew a Jewish mother could ever want. He wasn't married, but eh. But this is important to know. Jesus was a Jew sent to the Jewish people. He was the Messiah for the Jews. For Jesus wanted his people, the people of Israel, to know that they were not forgotten by God. They were not abandoned by God. God was with them, as he promised them from back of old. He promised to his forefathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. We get to then this part of the ministry of Jesus in Matthew. And it's odd. First of all, Jesus is no longer in Galilee. He's no longer in the country of the Jews. Instead, he has now crossed over the sea into the region of Tyre and Sidon. This is actually a Gentile place. And as he's walking along, a woman approaches him. Seems normal at first. How many stories of Jesus' miracles have started out this way? A person approaches Jesus wanting something, or a person comes crying to Jesus, please heal my family member, or so-and-so. It's something simple, a formula that Matthew has already used before, something that we know already, and we expect Jesus to heal her, or at least to listen to her. But Matthew points out one strange thing about this woman. She was a Canaanite. Now, for us in 2020, that doesn't really much mean anything to us. For a Jewish person, back in around 30 AD, that meant everything. See, the land, the Canaanites were a group of people who, by rights of God, should not exist. God commanded his people after 40 years of wandering in the desert, when they finally reached the land of Canaan, Subdue everyone in that place. Kill all who are there, lest you be tempted and turned away from my teachings and my rules. Harsh to us sounding today, but God was looking out for his people, those he has set apart from the foundation of the world, the one who he made promise after promise and show love after love to. He was saying to them, please, I know it sounds harsh, but go and destroy everyone there, because if you don't, bad things are going to happen to you. And they didn't. And the Canaanites, along with many other different Gentile nations, enslaved, killed, ravaged, forced, and sometimes were brought into the families of the people of Israel. And time again, they fell. And so now, in 30 AD, the Jewish people hate the Canaanites with such a vile poison that they considered them unclean and unredeemable. And even worse, this woman is coming to Jesus. This woman who by rights should not exist in the people of Israel's eyes. This woman who is the most unclean person ever is now coming to Jesus, saying that her daughter has an unclean spirit. She is the most unwanted person ever to be put in Matthew's gospel. And now we come to see what Jesus is going to do. And we all have this idea of what we want Jesus to do. We want him to embrace her. We want Jesus to go and say, come here. All will be well. Your daughter is well. Now go. But he doesn't. She wails to him. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. And Jesus did not answer her. Not a word. Why? Why would Jesus do this? Because Jesus was sent to the lost people of Israel. He was sent for them and not for her. That's harsh. And his disciples, they don't even want her. Still, even though Jesus was ignoring her, the woman held on to faith. This Gentile woman held on and clung to Jesus. I mean, she was being so bad that as they were walking down the road, the disciples were looking at her and they were looking at Jesus and they said, please, send her away. She's crying all day long. Give her what she wants. Let's be on our way. The disciples didn't even want her. That feeling of being wanted and then being rejected is painful. It hurts. It's something that we can understand, and yet here, it's so odd. Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of David, the Son of God, the one who has come to redeem his people, is ignoring a person in trouble. And that's hard. It's hard to grasp. And this woman is still clinging on to faith in Jesus. Jesus then looks to her. And she says, please have mercy on me. Finally, Jesus speaks to her And he says, it is not right to give the children's bread to dogs. This is odd for me. As I'm sure it was odd sounding to many of you as you heard or have read this passage time and time again. It doesn't make sense. Why would Jesus say this? Because he's come for his people. He loves his people. The children of Israel are God's people, and he is their Messiah. And look how they have treated him so far in the Gospel of Matthew. There's a reason why he's over here in Tyre and Sidon. His own people are now trying to kill him. His own family, his mother, his father, his brothers and sisters, they've all abandoned him. He has been abandoned by his people, the people who he has come to save. And still he goes after them and loves them. We heard how he just a couple weeks ago gave them, even when he was in one of the lowest points, hearing that his cousin, whom he loved, was beheaded by the ruler of their people. Still loved his people so much that he gave them bread. He gave them food in the wilderness. This is the love of our Savior. And now he is here saying these things. I could tell you that I know exactly why Jesus was saying this, that he had some type of ulterior motive, but I do not. I don't know what he did that for. Yet, the woman persists. She says to him, "Yes, Lord, you are absolutely right. It would be very bad indeed to deny or even to contradict God's plan to save his ancient people, Israel. You are Israel's Messiah. You belong to them. And the bread that you give belongs to your children. They are wanted by you. I agree and believe, and I don't even want that bread. They can have it. It's theirs. But even the dogs eat what the children spill from their master's table. And just a crumb is enough. Just that little bit is enough for me and my daughter." Jesus, looking at her, marvels. "Woman, great is your faith. Go and let it be done for you." This turnaround is almost unheard of. It's almost jarring from what it is, but it's comforting. For Jesus was not only the Messiah to Israel. He wasn't just the Son of God coming down for them. Matthew has made it abundantly clear that Jesus is Israel reduced to one person. He has suffered for 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. He has been rejected by his own people, just as the Israelites were rejected and thrown out of their original home. And then through him, as God said of old, all would be saved. We see this even in the Old Testament. For there is hope. The family of Moses, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, Jethro, he was actually a Gentile. And yet, he was yoked on to the people of Israel as they traveled in the desert, and he was saved and all of his family. The whole book of Ruth, one of the most wonderful, beautiful stories in the Old Testament of the love of God and the protection. Ruth was a Gentile. She, who Jesus is descended from, said to her mother-in-law, "Your family is my family. Your God is my God. I will be yoked to you." She has been saved. And Jesus is Israel reduced to one. Just as the prophet Isaiah said, all will come to the Lord's temple. So Jesus gathers all people to himself. For he is Israel and has come to save Israel, but his life-giving sacrifice on the cross is abundant for all. That the drops of blood are for all people. That the bread and the life that he gives from his own body even overflows so much that it is there for all people. For all people will come to be saved through him. All will be wanted through him. The love of God is abundant, and indeed, even more than the crumbs are enough. But our Lord gives more than that. He comes to the broken, the unwanted, the unloved, and says to them who cry out for help from God, I hear your prayers, and I give you rest. I come to you and make you mine. You who were once enemies are now family, loved and wanted by me. Even the crumbs that fell from the cross, the blood of Jesus on his broken form, cleanse the whole world from their sin. It cleanses you and me. At this time now in Matthew's gospel, there's a turn. Jesus goes now to the broken people of the world, the Gentiles, people like you and me, who are not Jewish, who have not received the original promises of God. And yet Jesus says, I am Israel. I am God. Come to me, everyone, and I will give you rest. Come to me, and I will give you food. We will actually see him perform the same miracle for his people of giving the bread, but now he gives it to the Gentiles. Bread and food in the wilderness. He gives it to them, for he loves them, and he wants them. He gives it to them because he is God and Lord of all. And he wants you and me. Amen.